Okay, so, you know, it's just really thinking about the society that we live in. We are probably living at such an incredible pace where we are more stressed. Like, things move. I'm moving. You all are moving around, okay? There's just this incredible stress going on. And I found this study. It was done in Penn State in 2014. And they talked to, like, 100,000 students and I forgot the period of time. And look what they found out. They found out of those 100,000 students, that what they found is that the number one issue now was anxiety versus depression. So they found, so the number one issue that college students, those 100,000, not all of them had this, but the number one issue that they were dealing with for mental health issues was anxiety. Raise your hand if you love living in anxiety. No, it's terrible, right? It's terrible. And so, guys, it is just not fun to do like that. But listen, let me ask you this one. I'm going to ask lots of questions, you know. How many of you love the wisdom of Google? Some of you don't know how to talk to. Okay, Google. What kind of oil do I put in my 2006 Jeep Commander? I'm at Walmart. Or I'm going to Walmart, okay? Google tells me it's a 520 or W520. I just look for those numbers, 520, all right? Google, how do I get this coffee stain out of my white sweater? Google tells me. How many of you have the wisdom of Google in your life? The rest of you, you got to get one of these things. For $35, you can talk to me. It's just great. Okay. But the crazy thing about Google and the wisdom of Google is it does help in some things in life, yes? Google, what's the weather? Google, when's it going to stop raining? I was asking that this morning. Okay. So, but the thing about Google is it does help, but it doesn't, and it's not been able to yet, pull people out of depression, anxiety, worry, and fear. Didn't work for me, right? Okay, so today I want to ask you a question. What is it that keeps you up at night? What is it that you lose sleep over? What is it that just nags you? Like you got this little puppy and it just, you know, you try to hide from it and it finds you and it nags you. What is that? Okay. Now, what is the thing that just won't go away? Don't say your spouse. Please be nice. What is the thing, you know, like what are the issues in your life that just keep you awake? Is it a financial issue? Is it a relationship issue? Is it a health issue? Is it something going on in your career? And listen, I don't know. I was going to say I don't care, but I really care about y'all. But I don't know what it is, but there's somebody who does care and does know what it is, and his name is your Father God. So God knows. He does know. So today what I want to talk to you is about a gift. Title of the message, a gift. Okay, and the gift I want to talk to you that is can be underneath everybody's Christmas tree, but this gift will most likely not solve all your issues, all your problems. But this gift will help you through those issues. And the gift is peace. And I loved, we sang two songs that had the word peace. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. Yeah, Pastor D, calm down. But the gift of peace. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So today I want to talk about peace, especially this season. But hey, listen, by the time the season's over, you know, it's still there. You can have worry and anxiety. So I want to talk about peace. And if you're taking notes, okay, you can write this down. The main idea that I want you to understand so clearly, just get it, run with it. It sticks with you. It just got it. You ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. God's gift to us is his perfect peace in an imperfect world. God's gift to us is his perfect peace, and it's an imperfect world. So let me talk about that. Anybody a control freak? So I asked Sherry, I said, am I a control freak? And she started laughing in my face. Yes, Mom, you are. Okay, really? So I'm working on it. But so control freaks, I just try to run, push, shove, and do it, okay? Not quite ready to apologize for it, but anyway. So how many of you I'm a control freak, but how many of you found out you cannot control all the external? You want to. You tried to, but how many of you found out you cannot control everybody, everything that's going on in life? Though I try to, but you cannot, right? You cannot, all right? But let me tell you what. God's peace can help regulate what goes on here. Me. God's peace. So we need God's peace. Or you'll be laying awake at night. So open up first scripture. It's John chapter 14. First scripture. John chapter 14. We're going to start around verse 27. But let me give you the background. John chapter 14. This is Jesus. He's talking to his boys. He's talking to the disciples. It's the night before he's going to be crucified. All right. And this conversation that he's having goes on for 5 chapters. Right? You talk about long-winded, but listen. He is cramming everything in with these guys before he's going to be crucified. So he's having this conversation, and he drops the bomb on them. He goes, listen, I'm going to go someplace you can't go now. I'm going to die, but you can't go where I'm going now. And you know what they do? They're like, what? They do a 2-year-old temper tantrum, really, but it probably looked a little better than that. But listen, they're like, hold on, we don't like what we're hearing. Hey, what's going on? Why are you kidding me? Because in their minds, they believed that Jesus was going to be the king next week. And they were going to sit right next to him. They were going to be part of the team, all right? So they are not loving what he says. Anybody would be loving what he says? No, I don't want to love what he says. So here he is, John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus was going to say these words to him. He says, I am leaving you a gift. Everybody say a gift. All right, I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So what does he say? Hey, listen, I'm leaving you a gift. What's the gift, everybody? You sure? Yeah. Peace, okay? Peace of mind and peace of heart. That's what this translation. So how many of you are going to give gifts or receive gifts in the next, how many more days till Christmas? I forgot to ask Google. Okay, Google, 9 more days. Okay. How many of you are going to give or receive gifts? Yeah, all right. How many of you had to perform for your gift? How many of you had to earn your gift? How many of you, don't raise your hand, that's so silly. Don't go there, Dee. Okay, how many of you, the person you gave the gift to, they had to earn it? Hopefully, no, was your answer. Because a gift isn't a gift if you had to do all that. So listen to Jesus. He says, I've given you the gift of peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, okay? And then he says, and the peace I give, this gift that I give, the world can't give. So I cannot buy it on Amazon. I cannot go online and buy it. You cannot get it in a bottle, in a pill, in a relationship. Because Jesus says the gift I give, the world can't give you. You're reading with that with me, right? Okay, so if you can't go on Amazon to buy the gift, a peace, there's only one place you're going to get it. Where do you get this gift? In the Prince of Peace. Amen. And you get it in Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Woo! Okay, we get it in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So years ago when I was, like years ago last week when I was not in worry and anxiety or something like that, and I'm thinking about peace, you know, I used to think, you ever see those people that are doing that yoga thing and they're sitting cross-legged in their arms and and you look at them and you go, man, they've got peace all over them, right? Doesn't that look beautiful? The only trouble about now, it's really hard to get off the ground. So that is not my peace thing. But how many of you, if grandma and grandpa take the kids overnight, peace, right? Peace. Or how about this? Your boss goes on vacation for a week. We got peace. We got peace. All right? We got peace. But listen, Jesus says there's only one place you're going to get peace, the gift of peace, in the Prince of Peace, in Jesus. So those things are all external, but we want the internal. Then he goes on to say, do not be troubled or afraid? Everybody say, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Okay. If you're taking notes, let me give you the definition for trouble. Ready? To be agitated. You know when I'm agitated, there is a face that goes with it, right? Okay, the other one is worked up. You know when I'm worked up, there is a face that goes with it, all right? Full of anxiety. You know when I've got this face going. I'm full of anxiety, full of fear, and stressed out, okay? And you also might end up with knots in your stomach and you can't sleep. So Jesus says, hey, don't be that way. And don't be afraid, right? That's what he's telling us. Okay, so here's the thing. The peace of God has the ability to kick out of your life, to kick out of your mind, kick out of your body, worry, anxiety, fear, stress, depression. The peace of God has that ability to do that. Isn't that awesome? It's actually very powerful. It's just tremendous. Okay, now, a few chapters later, remember this is Jesus having this long conversation, but turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Jesus says a few things later. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. They'll pop it up, or you can just write it down because y'all take good notes so you can go over this, right? Yeah, okay. Here we go. I have told you these things. Okay, what things did Jesus? Well, if you read up, he's telling them, hey, listen, I'm out of here. People are not going to like you. People are going to be not nice to you. They might even persecute you and try to kill you. Okay? So he's telling them that. All right, let's just read what he says. So I've told you these things so that in me, everybody say in me. In me, you have perfect peace. Whoa. Perfect peace. Woo! In the world, you will have tribulation, distress, suffering, but be of courage, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. Woo! Yeah, right? I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. That's the Amplified. It's just tremendous. So Jesus is saying to all of us, hey, I'm going to leave, and I just want to tell you, you're going to go through some troubles, some storms in life. Yes, you are. You are, you are, you are. And I'm telling you this now, and I'm telling you this now, and also the Holy Spirit is going to bring my words to remembrance. He's going to tell you in case you have short memory, all right? But this is what he's saying. He says, listen, hey, in me, you have perfect peace. Everybody put your hand in your belly and say, I have perfect peace. I have perfect peace. So he's saying, in me, you can have perfect peace. The thing about perfect peace, it's not based on anything out here. The peace in here is not based on external circumstances, right? The peace that Jesus gives us has nothing to do with this. Woo! Okay. But he says, in me, you can have perfect peace. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, you got that perfect peace? All right. Okay, they should say, all right. So, let me tell you some great things about this peace, this perfect peace. When you know you have it, and I say no, but when you know you have this perfect peace, it will make you courageous. It will make you confident. When you know you have it, okay, not just because I sang the song, but when you know that you have it, you'll have this confidence. And well, Pastor D, what are you talking about? If you know that you have peace, his peace, this perfect peace inside of you, guess what happens? You can stand your ground in the midst of everything that's flying and blowing up. All right? Now, I have not always done really well on this. I am still growing at this. All right? So you'll see it. All right? But listen to this. How many of you know the armor of God? Put on the whole armor of God. Da, 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 da. And one of the pieces of the armor of God is called the shoes of the gospel of peace, or we could say the shoes of peace. And he's telling you, you need to put them on. Well, you know, why do I need to put them on? So I'll be able to stand when I hit troubles, when things hit me and blast at me. If you have this peace, you'll be able to stand. And you know what? When you're standing in the peace, you are going to make good decisions, not based on fear. I have made some really rotten, stinking, bad decisions based on being in worry and fear. Anybody ever make some bad decisions because you're all worried and spazzed out and freaking out? Just two of us. Shoot, I'm some perfect bunch of liars. No. Okay. But listen, when you know that you have this perfect peace, you get to, and you let it move in your life, you can stand. As a matter of fact, you can stand. You can stand, and you get to call the shots. And Jesus was a great example of that, and we're not going to go through all that. But so again, I want to talk about peace. I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. Peace, man. Peace. We had signs. My mom was like, are you kidding me? So signs of peace. But, you know, the thing about this peace, a lot of us really don't know what it is, right? It is not peace, man. Okay, it's not that. So in the Old Testament, which would be the Hebrew, there's a word for peace. And in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, there's a word for peace. And they're so similar on what they mean. If you're taking notes, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. How many of you have heard that before? Shalom. And it's so similar to the New Testament, but so shalom means wholeness. Write that down. Completeness. Write that down. And as the rabbis like to say, nothing missing, nothing broken. Think on that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness. Soundness. Woo! Okay. So, what is this peace that this gift that God gives you supposed to produce in your life? Wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Right? Isn't that wonderful? That's what it's supposed to produce. So I was trying to think on how I can explain this to you. So picture this. You're going for a long drive with your honey. With your dog, I don't know, whatever, you go for a long drive. And all of a sudden your car starts sputtering. And it just starts going slow. All right? And you're thinking, and of course your lovely wife says, are we going to make it home? And you're sitting here thinking, I did not buy the super deluxe AAA package. It does not cover 100 miles tow. So you finally make it home, but it is like slow and it's kind of sputtering wrong. And what's the first thing you do when you get home with that car? Yes, you go to the mechanic, right? And you know, your mechanic looks at it and he says, oh, buddy, you need a tune-up. You got some bad spark plugs going on. All right, so let me ask you this. What was your car doing? Misfiring. It wasn't firing up all the things that it's supposed to. Now, did it still kind of move along? All right? It was still moving, but here's the thing. That's kind of a picture about a lot of us. If we do not open our heart to the peace, yeah, we're kind of going through life, but maybe it's a little broken. You know how we do life, right? So, and we're kind of limping along. But can I tell you, God loves you so much, he doesn't want you sputtering and going broken through life. He doesn't want you doing that, and that's why he gave you his peace, and he wants this peace to control you and not worry, not anxiety, not depression, not stress, not, wah, Pastor D, okay? God loves you so much that he gave you your peace, and he doesn't want those things controlling you in your life. So that's why he's given us the gift of peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Everybody say, I love Jesus. I love, he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, some of you are going to get gifts. Some of you are going to give gifts. And some of you might even get some gifts that need to be maintained. Last year, my kids bought me an Instapot. Anybody know what these are? They're like a 21st century pressure cooker, crock pot, sauteer. Jesus, okay? But I have to maintain that thing. You have to take this gasket out and clean it out, and then there's this little thingy. If it gets too much gook in there, I have to maintain it, all right? How many of you found out you have to maintain your car? I know, close your eyes, I know some people sitting here that didn't maintain their car and put oil in them, and their engine blew up, froze. Yeah, found out real quick, you have to maintain How about if that's the gift that someone gave you? Yeah, you have to maintain it, all righty? You have to maintain it. And if you maintain it, it is a gift that keeps on giving. But if you don't maintain it, you got to put money in it, right? So Jesus says, I'm going to give you peace, but you have to maintain it if it wants to be the gift that keeps on giving. So what would be our question? Well, how? Why? How do I do that? How do I maintain this peace? So he's given us the gift, all right? How do I maintain it? Everybody say, how? I'm so glad I'll tell you. Ready? Now, I am going to tell you a scripture, and most of you can do cartwheels and recite it. And the thing is, when I tell you this scripture, you're just going to flake out on me and check out. So I don't want you to check it out. Check out, but I want you to check it out. So open up to Philippians chapter 4. I probably preach this scripture 6 times a year because it's so good. Yep, Philippians 4. Y'all say hallelujah when you find it. Good. Now, praise God. Philippians 4, verse 6. It starts with, do not worry. Does yours say that or be anxious? For nothing, okay. Do not worry about nothing. Do not worry about anything, okay? Now, you read that some days and you go, is this a joke? Is this a joke? Seriously? Do not worry? God, have you been here? The answer is yes, he's been here. He sent his son Jesus, okay? So you read this and then it says, do not worry. Or anxious, whatever word you like, okay? And how many of you have ever told your kids, do not cross the street until you look both ways? Yeah, and I meant it, all right? God means this, and he says, do not worry about anything, all right? Now, the medical field's even figured that out, right? They said worry, anxiety, stress will just start racking at your body, and it's just going to kind of have all sorts of issues blow up, and you're going to have to take pills. Right? The medical community's figured it out. That's one reason why. Do not worry. All right? How about, listen, you want to hear what God has to say about do not worry? Because worry is taking your focus off of God and placing it on something that's not going to be able to change your worry pile. It's taking your focus off of God and trying to do something that's not going to be able to do. It's not going to be able to do it. Matter of fact, Jesus says, hey, listen, worry is powerless to change that problem in your life. Worry is just, it's not going to produce the results. So, he says, matter of fact, Jesus says that same thing in the parable of the farmer, the sower sows the word, okay? The sower sows the word. And he, one of the things he says, if you worry, it will choke the word, which is what God wants to do in your life. Worry will choke what God wants to do in your life. So why shouldn't you worry? Because God wants you to flourish. He wants you to, you know. So praise God. So let's go here. So let's read the rest of that. Philippians 4 says, do not worry about anything, but what? Prayer by prayer and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. All right. So he's telling you to pray and ask God for everything you need and give thanks. He's telling you to pray and ask God. He's telling you to pray and ask God for everything you need. I think it's more than, if you feel like it, just call Pastor D, she'll pray for you. No, it says pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. All right, so I have a question. It's not a trick question. You don't have to think so hard. Raise your hand if you like just plain peanut butter sandwiches. Oh, I got one. Good, good. Now, raise your hand if you like peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter and Pastor D's homemade strawberry jam. Yeah, hey, yeah, that tells it. Okay, so listen. Prayer without thanksgiving. But prayer with thanksgiving go together. Prayer with thanksgiving, they go together. They go together. So why in the world should we give thanks after we pray? Why should I pray and then give thanks? Look at your neighbor and go, why? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. I'll tell you why. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Why do I have peanut butter and jelly? Why does prayer and thanksgiving go together? Okay. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, according to the Bible, according to his promises, if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Are you sure? Yeah. He hears us. Okay. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the prayers, the things that we ask for, we've asked him for. Okay. So, but Pastor D, I don't feel like he heard me. I don't feel like. No. It says, wait a minute. If we ask anything according to his will, his word, the Bible, his promises, he hears. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Someday my feelings are a mush, a mess, okay? This has nothing to do with your feelings. He says, all right, so if you ask anything according to his word, his Bible, his promises, he hears you. Just like you can hear me. He hears you, right? This is the confidence I have. When I pray his word, I know he hears me. And if I know he hears me, I know he's answered and he's given me. So I give thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. You've heard me. You've heard your word. I thank you, Father. You have already set the answer. Thank you, God. You set the answer. This is the confidence I have. How about you? All right, everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
You've heard me. You've answered me. Okay, I need Jim. Come up here. I haven't picked on you in such a long time. Okay. Here's Jim, I'll need that one chair there. And I picked him because you got to be able to throw. And my throws. Thank you. This is a bucket of Nerf balls. I want them all back. I borrowed them from the youth department. So I'm going to ask you to throw them. And vengeance is God's. No, not yet. Vengeance is God's, so don't pick on somebody, but you know. Okay, so this bucket is a bucket of worry. It's a bucket of worries, okay? And we just found out that we shouldn't worry, right? Say, do not worry. All right, okay, if I'm not going to worry, what am I going to do? Oh, you guys, that's so great. You got it. Okay, but this is even better. So if I'm not going to worry, I need to replace my worry with prayer. Okay, so this is how it works. This ball, you might probably need about five of them, but no, they're yours. Okay, this ball represents your kids. Your kids, if they're 3, 33, 63, they're your kids, right? They're still your kids. Sometimes I treat them like they're 3, okay? But they never stop being your kids, right? And but you can worry about them. Not you, it's somebody else, right? But you can worry about your kids, okay? And I don't know what their situations are. I don't know if they're struggling in school or they're bigger and they're struggling in work. I don't know if they've got some social, somebody's bullying them. I don't know if every time they study for a test and then the day comes, they take the test and then they just freeze. I don't know what's going on with your kids. But, listen, but you can spend a whole lot of time worrying about them. Anybody ever worry about your kids? Keep you up the night? Yep. Waiting for him. Okay. So he says we're supposed to take our worries and turn them into prayer. So, Father God, you said that you gave Daniel and his 3 friends 10 times more wisdom than they needed. So, Father God, I thank you that you pour out your wisdom and your spirit of faith. Go throw 3 of them at somebody. Come on, whip them. Okay, I want them back. All right. I thank you, Father, that you surround my child with faith. I thank you, Father, that the seed of the righteous is blessed. I thank you, Father, that there's blessings on my kid's life. You can have fun. Okay. So whatever the promises are, whatever the will of God is, whatever the word of God is, okay? You're going to say that, and you're going to get rid of that fear by prayer and then thanksgiving. Okay. All right, here's another one. There's rumors that the plant's going to have layoffs. There's rumors they're going to lay off 200 people. And oh my gosh, if that's me, I don't know how we're financially going to do. All right? Or how about this one? I'm not thinking about Christmas, Pastor D. I don't even know how I'm going to pay the utility bills come January. I'm worried. Okay, how about this one? Pastor, I don't ever think of that. Man, I'm getting ready to transition into retirement. I don't know if I've got enough money to live off of. All right? How about this one? I've just graduated college, and I'm going into my career, and I don't know, oh my gosh, am I going to have enough money to pay off all my college loans? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Okay, so what do? We take these worries, and we say, we pray, we ask God, and we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's all. Okay. The Lord supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will provide everything that everybody else is chasing for. Okay. Woo. All right. So then we start going, thank you. Everybody go, thank you. I didn't get hit in the head. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. You've done it. I thank you. You've answered. I thank you. You've moved. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. My mom's going in for a biopsy this week, and the doctors are saying the C word, and God, we don't know how it's going to go, and this is what we go. Father God, you are the great physician. Father God, I thank you that you are working now a miracle in my mom's body, and I thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, hold on. This is the next one. Write this down. 1 Peter 5:7. Get ready for the missiles. Ready? Wait. 1 Peter 5:7. You got to get this. The Bible says, the word of God, the promise says, cast, not yet, all your cares, worries, fear, anxiety, all your cares on him. Why? He cares for you. Okay. So what do then? We are taking these burdens, these worries, these fears, these anxiety, and we are, go for it, casting them. Woo! Let's give Jim a big hand. Thank you. Woo! Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, this is a little Debbie Downer, but pay attention. What happens right after you pray, you ask God, and you cast all your fears, you know, through prayer on him, what happens? Probably a minute later, what happens? He tries to come back and go, oh, I wonder if little Johnny passed his test. I wonder if mom's going to get a good report back. I wonder if I'm going to, okay, you know what you've just done? You've taken these back. So if you're not sleeping at night, you've taken them back. Yes. Go, Romano. Okay. All right. So you've taken them back. Okay. Now, what you say when you fall back into that is, I got this, God. I got this. I got this, God. I just think I'm going to take them back because, you know, God, you're God. I got this. And what happens when you do that, you are saying that I have all the resources, all the abilities, I can handle this. Right? You cannot. You cannot. And listen, I'm a control freak. I like to fix things, make things happen and stuff like that. But if you're picking that, you've just prayed and asked God and gave him thanks. If you're picking that back up, you're walking around thinking, I got this. And actually, I'm going to call it the P word. You're actually full of pride. Yeah, all happy faces here. Okay, you're full of pride. But listen, when you take those balls, those worries and you know, stuff that's going on, and you leave them in the hands of the great I am, the God of all sufficiency, the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the God that has all ability, all resources, guess what? He's going to take care of it, right? All right, so nobody should be walking out with Nerf balls. For two reasons, spiritual reasons and physical reasons. Okay. All right, that if you're taking notes, right, the word cast, C-A-S-T, in that verse says to throw once and for all. I had to read that twice. To throw once and for all in the hands of God and leave it there. Leave it there. Okay. So after you pray, after you ask God, what do you do next? Thank you. Father, I thank you. So I got to thinking, we pray here every Thursday at noontime. You're all invited. And we pray for an hour. And I thought, you know what? We should do just 30 minutes of praying and then 30 minutes of thanksgiving. Right? Because if you prayed the word and you believe it, that God's got it, there should be a whole lot of thanksgiving going on. And by the way, starting in the new year, the first Sunday in the new year, we're going to have prayer here upstairs. And I think we're starting it at 6:30. Can't remember the Sunday night. Thank you. 6:30 upstairs. And I might teach for 3 minutes and then we're going to pray. And then the last part's thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Right? Thank you, God. Amen. That's your key. So what do you do when you've given thanks? Well, you did your part. When you've given thanks, you did your part. And now guess who's going to do their part? God comes in. He'll do his part. Because this is the confidence that I have. Right? And he's going to do his part. All right. Go back to Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace which is so great, we can't understand it. Let me tell you, I don't get it all the time. And the peace, verse 7, Philippians 4, 7. I'm reading out of the New Century. And the peace which is so great, we cannot understand it. It will keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Okay. The word keep is a Greek word. It's actually a military word, and it means to go in and to guard and to protect from an invasion. Woo! God's going to go in and protect from an invasion of your brain and the thoughts and the crazy going on. God will go in, that peace will go in and protect and guard from an invasion, okay? So when I pray and I ask and I've done my part, then God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And that, guys, that's a promise. I'm going to read that out of one more translation. This is the Contemporary English Version. It says, this peace, God's peace, his perfect peace, will control the way you think, woo, and the way you feel. It is that powerful, the peace, that gift of peace, okay? So what does that mean? In the middle of your crazy, you can have peace. You can walk in peace. On occasions, I do that really well. No, okay. So we do this, okay? In the middle of, man, you just got this bad report. In the middle of so-and-so did this, in the middle of this, in the middle of this. Guess what? It will cause you to stand and be courageous because you're standing in his peace. That's what it does. So after we pray, after we ask, after we thanks, his peace is going to come on the scene. Okay, and then we still have to do something. And then you have to choose what you think on. That's like the cherry on the cake here. Okay, everybody say, I have to choose what I think on. I have to choose what I think on. All righty. So I'm going to read verse 8, 1 Philippians 4, 8. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It's a little long, but listen to this. Summing it all up, friends, believers, I'd say you do best by filling your mind or thinking, by filling your mind and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, right? Beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. So, what goes on in your mind is really important. Amen? It is critical what you think on. You got the gift, girl, but it is critical what you think on so you'll live it, so you'll have it, so you'll enjoy it. All right? So, let me think. Do I have one more scripture? Let's see. You know, I just read you that whole list, and some of you are probably not going to go home and memorize that, but I'll just give you a real quick tip on how you can think on the good things, not the ugly things, not the cursed things, okay? Ready? Think on any promise of God. Just grab a promise of God. The Lord is my helper. He is faithful, okay? You know, just think of, you know, scriptures that by his stripes I'm healed. Just think on that. So that's one easy way to get that list inside of you. The second thing you can do is look up the character of God, who God is. Okay, God is good, right? Y'all know that? Yeah, God is love, right? All right, God is faithful. God is this, God is, and you start thinking on that, you got Philippians 4:8 inside you then, all right? Those are the things you think on. Those are those things you keep on your thoughts, and then you start just spit them out of your mouth. So how about we close in prayer? Oh, hot dog, I'll get you out early today. Praise the Lord. Ready? I don't know if you came here today because 'tis the season to be merry and all that stuff, and you just sort of feel like you're drowning. Drowning in life. I've been there. Matter of fact, there were seasons in my life I felt like I was just losing it, and it wasn't a day, a week, it was like months, okay? So I've been there. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you at the end. And maybe you came here and you said, Pastor D, I don't even know this peace that you're talking about. I'm going to give you an opportunity to know the peace, Jesus. But I have one more thing to say, and again, I'm just going to say, next week is our Christmas service, and it'll be delightful, and we'll have fun. But I just want to encourage you to bring somebody who needs to meet the Prince of Peace. How about if we pray? Oh, no, Pastor D, I don't want to pray. Yes, we're going to pray. How about we pray and ask God to put people intersect in our life who need the Prince of Peace. Okay? And then after we pray that, you got to be on the lookout. And don't get weird, okay? But be on the lookout and say, God, who's that person? Who's that person? And say, hey, what are you doing on Sunday? I'd like to bring you to church. Why don't you come with me? And I did find out. Gary Bailey told me, you got to pick them up. They'll say, sure, I'll be there, but they don't. You got to go pick them up, all right? So how about let's all pray that prayer. Sure, Pastor D. I've just been waiting for that prayer forever. Yes, you have. Ready? Father God, everybody say that. Give me an opportunity this week to my path would connect with people who need peace. Amen. And I will bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, He's going to do that. He's going to do that. All right, so you go invite him and bring him, and shoot, we'll have just a great old time. Hey, if you're here and you'd say you're the person that, or the people that would say, you know, Pastor D, you've been talking about that peace, Jesus, and I know I don't have him. My life's a mess. I'm going to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you said, I've asked Jesus to be my peace, but I've just walked far, far, far away from him. Well, you know what? Say, today's a good day to come home. And I'm going to pray for you. It's just come on home, and it'll just be glorious. So Jesus said, if you call on his name, he'll do it. He'll do the work. He'll save you. He'll bring you into the family of God. It's real simple. Whoever would believe in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for him, and ask him to come in his life, he'll do the work. You just have to say it with your heart. Say it with your heart, okay? So if you're here and that's you, maybe you're far from God, or this is the first time and you're like, I'm ready. I can't take another minute of being this life. Well, how about we all pray this prayer? Why don't we all stand up? You're all wiggled around here. Ready? Everybody say, and listen, if you're praying this for the first time, you say it loud enough that you can hear it, all right? Now, you don't have to scream it, but we're going to say it out loud. Everybody's going to pray it with you, but you say it so you can hear it, all right? And we know that he hears us, right? Okay, so Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died for me, and you rose again. And Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. I make a decision to follow you from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, there is a miracle that happened. You may not look any better. You may not smell any better, but a miracle happened. God's life comes inside of you. You are now a child of God. Heaven is your home. Eternity is glorious. So if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, would you come up and tell me? And if you prayed that prayer where you just rededicated it, just said, Jesus, come back in my life, come up and tell me. I want to give you a high five. Y'all are blessed. If you would like prayer for anything, we are big pray people, right? Okay, we'd like to help you chuck your Nerf balls out of your life, and we will stand with you and pray with you. So I've got some people up front that'll come pray with you. Have a great week. See you next Sunday. Amen.